Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can I talk football here for a minute? Let's talk Bears, okay?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
What's in that glass you were sipping on?
You know what? I'm not telling anybody. It was a glass of iced tea. Okay, how's that? That's TV talk, you know? Iced tea.
Dave Wannstedt.
You guys want to hear something funny?
When I'm coaching, right, everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me, everyone calls me an expert.
With Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt joining us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. We will talk to George McCaskey coming up in 29 minutes. Mark Grody is in. Dave Wannstedt is here, normally Thursdays at 5, kind enough to join us a little bit earlier today. How's it going, Coach?
I'm doing well. A lot happening this week. Obviously, a lot to talk about this week. Before we get started, hey, Shane, did you and your wife get that bottle of Terry Bradshaw bourbon that I sent that I owed
That's
you?
That's not funny.
It might have. I know I got a box of something. Hold on.
Okay.
It should have gotten there. This guy.
Get that, Dave.
Oh, there you go.
The Bradshaw bourbon that you sent did get here. Not for my wife. I'm not married. It was for Tanny and I, you said.
We're married.
We're work wives.
I know. Absolutely. Well, good.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you,
Everything
Wani.
Worked out. Okay, guys.
We'll try it right now.
This is an outrage. That's my bottle of bourbon. Oh, my God. Get your mouth off of the Bradshaw bourbon,
Shane. It's broke. He's like a little kid. He's gonna lick it now so nobody else can have it or touch it. So there it goes.
Be careful there, guys. It's 104 proof. A little bit more potent than the normal.
It's all right, Coach. It's already 3 o'clock.
All right.
Dave.
Oh, yes. I thought
people from Pittsburgh always paid their bets. What's going on here?
I can see it. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. But you lost the bet to me, not to Shane.
Get in the office, and you'll collect your debt.
Oh, this is unbelievable what's happening. Wow. Everyone's conspiring against me.
Coach, that's good.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Holy cow.
This is.
Wow.
All right.
So
I'm breaking
generous.
All protocols. I will be there for the George McCaskey
conversation.
Dave, can we share why you're not gonna? Why you had to be on at 3 today instead of 5 o'clock? This is very exciting news.
Well, I'm actually going to go get a vaccine. The COVID vaccine. So I got was fortunate to get called and was able to get an appointment booked. So I'm all in. I'm going to get on there and see what happens.
Is that because you know like Jimmy Johnson? Like, how did you skip the line?
No, actually, I sent how I got on to Jimmy, and he's having a problem. I talked to him this morning. I fly to L.A. tomorrow. We have a show. Tune in Saturday. It'll be like 11:30, 12. Be like 1:30, I think, your time. Pre-game
show. Okay. We will certainly check that out. I I don't know if you listened or watched the entire press conference yesterday, but I'm sure you're aware of it. You watched the whole thing. Okay, yep. What were your top takeaways?
Well, number one, and these are a few points that this is not an opinion as much as fact. Knowing the McCaskey family, knowing the Bears organization, that no major decision is made without Virginia's blessing. And everyone, the fans may be listening and saying, oh, God, she's, 95 or 98 years old. And I'm telling you now, she doesn't miss a beat. She is sharp. And, yes, they can go in there and try to convince her one way or another about signing players, about coaches, whatever, stadium deals. But everything stops with her, and she has to give her blessing for anything of this magnitude to happen. So, and part of the McCaskey makeup and why I got along so good with them, and I say this honestly, I mean, people and character is very important to Virginia and to that family. So when they say that how well that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace get along and they like their character, there's no undercutting going on there. And they don't want conflict, okay? They really don't want a conflict unless they have to. So you got coaches and general managers that are, it sounds like, giving and taking. And, it sounds like, and I could be wrong on this, it sounds like my man Chucky Pagano and Mitch Trubisky are going to be the two fall guys in this whole thing. That's what it sounds like. I don't know what's going to happen there. I know what happened with Chuck, but I don't know what's going to happen with Mitch.
So you think Chuck Pagano was a fall guy?
I just don't like the whole thing that he's not there to defend himself, and there's going to be fans out there. I don't think that's coming from inside the organization, but I think there might be a perception out there, that he got forced out or something. So, I mean, I just don't like that negativity.
It seems, Dave, like when Chuck Pagano took the Bears job, that it was like he's coming in to coach a defense that was great, that had just gotten Vic Fangio a head coaching job.
Yep.
And so, hey, Chuck Pagano coaches this defense. They play great for a couple of years. Maybe he could get a head coaching job again. But now he's retiring. Like, does he really want to be retired?
Well, I don't know that. I texted with him Monday, and he told me he was going down to Tampa to get away for a while. Keep in mind, Bruce Arians is down at Tampa, right? Bruce was his guy in Indianapolis. I mean, maybe if Chuck's not retired, he could end up doing something down the road as, senior. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But, you mentioned the defense, and that's another point that everyone needs to think about here. That defense, the window of opportunity for that defense to go to the Super Bowl and perform like a Super Bowl defense, that window is closing because of contracts being up and age. And so I think that's probably another factor that George is looking at and saying, if we can keep this thing intact and do something on offense, we at least we got the defense here. Where if you bring in a new GM, okay, he's going to have his own coach. They're going to bring in a different philosophy. All of a sudden, this player doesn't fit in this scheme. You're making transition. This player doesn't like the coach. There's a conflict of personalities. Right now everybody's, it sounds like the players are all on board. They like Matt Nagy and respect him. So I could see how sitting back saying, let's see if this might give us the best chance to win next year without totally blowing everything up.
And if they didn't win next year, Dave, is that when as your words, that they would blow everything up? That they have to win next year?
Yeah, I definitely think that. And I think that Matt knows that, and I think Ryan knows that, and everybody that's involved. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. And if they don't, then you're going to see the old, the Danny Trevathans and Robert Quinns, those guys. They're here to try to win a ring. I mean, that's why they're playing. The money's great, but they're trying to get a ring, and now the clock's running on them. So I think next year is a critical year. It's going to be a lot of pressure year. There's no fans this year. And let me tell you this now. I've been around a lot of owners, and I tell you what gets the owners as much as anything is when they show up at that stadium and there's 35 or 40,000 people there the last couple games. And I lived it. And everyone's got the signs up, and they're sitting there, and You know, it's not just the revenue thing, but it's a mentality that they can visually see. You know, they hear a comment or read something on Twitter or hear a comment there. You know, it's easy to kind of, you know, have amnesia and just kind of throw it on the back burner. But you go to the stadium and you are sitting there and you see that and you hear it and you're walking out and people are yelling at. I mean, it's that is usually the quickest way to a lot of owners saying, you know what, enough's enough. And we didn't have that this year because there's no fans.
Dave, they're bringing back Ryan Pace. They're bringing back Matt Nagy. You said it seems obvious, right? They've got to win next year or else they'll be gone. But they also have to change quarterbacks this offseason, right? I mean, they can't. I mean, obviously, yeah. Nick Foles is under contract. I wonder how big of a swing Ryan Pace is going to be allowed to take. Like, is he going to be allowed to trade future first round draft picks to move up in the draft? If it doesn't go well next year, he could be fired and then putting the next GM behind the eight ball. Like, I just wonder how aggressive he's going to be allowed to be.
Yeah, that's the big question mark, and I don't have an answer for that. All I can tell you is if let's assume that if Mitch is not coming back, the quarterback that the Bears sign next year is going to be a quarterback that fits into Matt Nagy's offense. It's not going to be this, in my opinion, this run, roll out, play action, pass offense. It's going to be the drop back. You know, whatever they were trying to do the first couple of years. So I think that's the real key. And then here's the thing that's going to be tough on these guys. And I feel bad for them because I'll tell you what, you know, I would expect them to just promote from within on defense. And if you're let's say a Matthew Stafford at Detroit, a proven quarterback that you know is a veteran guy that can come in and win right now, right? Well, is he going to go to the Bears? You know, or is he going to go to the New England Patriots? You know, I mean, there's going to be, right? So, I mean, that's the other issue that they're going to be facing from a free agent standpoint. These free agents don't want to get caught up in a one-year deal and a change of offensive philosophy and so forth. So, I mean, that's a tough situation when you're trying to attract a free agent and when you're trying to attract a top defensive coordinator. I don't see it happening. Unless somebody's out of work, there's just too many jobs out there that I would expect them to keep the continuity. They want continuity with Ryan and Matt. They probably want continuity with the defense, too, and I would expect them to promote from within. I don't know who, but somebody.
Dave, we all obviously agree that next year is a must-win year for the Bears, that they will be desperate to win. Is desperation a good thing in the NFL? Can that bring the best out in a general manager and a head coach?
Well, if you don't have fans in the stands, it sure helps, you know. I mean, I think that. But if the fans are there and things don't go well, it won't take long, you know, for Chicago. I mean, fans, you know, it's a very difficult situation. There's added pressure. There's added stress. There's no question about that. That Matt and specifically, you know, Matt Nagy, the head coach, he's going to have to deal with along with his staff. And it's just not him. I mean, you know, when those things start happening, all of a sudden your assistant coaches, they go home and the wives say, hey, when are we going to be okay? Do we got to put the house up for sale? Do I got to look for new schools? I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that when the ship starts going south.
But I mean, what I guess more of what I mean, Dave, is since they're in this situation where they know they got to win, does it mean that they're going to take bigger swings, take more chances? You know, because in 2018, that was the last time the Bears were desperate. It was coming off the 2017 season, which was horrible. And then they bring in Matt Nagy. They go get Khalil Mack. They have a 12-4 season. So maybe that prompted Ryan Pace to take a swing that he maybe would not have if there wasn't that feeling of desperation.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't think they're going to have that latitude to do it. I think the only position, I don't see him doing anything on defense. And I personally, I would be drafting an offensive lineman or a receiver. And Matt needs to kind of put his foot down a little bit. He can't be burdening this whole thing himself. He's such a good guy. You know, I mean, is Miller still on the team? The receiver, the guy that slugged him, he's still on the team? I mean, if I got a meeting and I talk about that this can happen, see what happened to our player, we cannot afford a penalty. It's going to hurt the team. And a player goes out and does that, you got to cut him the next day. I mean, you got to get rid of this guy. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of urgency and fear amongst these players too. I mean, if there's not, you know, Matt thinks he's going to burden it all, then it won't happen. It won't happen.
Dave, do you see a reasonable path to the Bears being a 10-win team or more next year?
Oh, sure you do. I mean, you know, absolutely. I mean, now my path, obviously, I mean, I was encouraged how some of the young defensive linemen, when they got in there and played on their rotation, that how they performed. I was encouraged with David Montgomery. I think that Cole Kmet's going to be a player. You know, Mooney, we got some young receivers, I think, that got talent. So I'm encouraged. They can draft and add a good offensive lineman, add another receiver to the mix. The kicker is fantastic. So there's a lot of positives when you sit back and look at this team that says, boy, if we can just get a quarterback, it's the key. They're not going to do it unless they have a quarterback that number one, they like. And you know what's sad? Now that you really look back on it, you know, when they brought in Nick Foles, and I like Nick, but Nick's a completely different player than Mitch is, right? So when they brought him in, they knew what they were getting with Foles, and it was almost like that they really now wanted that to happen. They truly wanted, you know, Foles to be the guy where they could run that offense, and unfortunately it didn't work out.
We're talking to Dave Wanstead here. George McCaskey will join us in 15 minutes. Mark Grody is in with us on The Score. You know Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. He's taking the Jacksonville job. Do you think he will do well in the NFL?
I do. I you know why? Because he's because of the job. Number one, you're going to get the quarterback that you want. Number two, you got plenty of extra draft picks. And number three, you've got as much money, I think maybe the most money to play with as far as salary cap. And probably last and just as important from my experience when we went from the University of Miami to the Cowboys, well, we drafted players and we knew not just the players on Miami's team, but we, from years of playing against all these different teams around the country, well, we knew if that guy at Michigan State was a good player. We knew with this Clemson, you know, so we had a feel and we had connections. We would call coaches, head coaches. Urban will be on the phone talking to coordinators and coaches and his staff will, all over the country, verifying what they think a player is possibly could do. So he's going to have an edge that way, too, for a couple years.
I think and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the last time there was that high profile of a college coach going to the pros was Nick Saban, and that crashed and burned pretty quickly. I mean, and that's a long time ago, Dave, but it feels like a parallel situation in terms of the power, the money, and all of that that goes into it and why that might not have worked.
Big difference. And mm-hmm. Is it Urban Meyer, and I know a lot of guys that have worked for him. Urban Meyer is the CEO-type head coach. He's a lot like Jimmy Johnson. He's going to have big picture hand and everything, but not living with one specific area. Where Nick Saban, and I talked to a lot of Dolphin players, Nick is on the field coaching. He's getting in stances with guys. You can't do that. You can do this. You know what I mean? So I think Nick's style of coaching is different than Urban's. It's different than Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, as I said, was kind of the CEO type. He was on the personnel. He's looking. He's evaluating talent. He's looking at the waiver wire, offense, defense, you know, everything. So I think that's the way Urban does it. So if he can hire some good assistants, then I believe that he can be successful.
Yeah, I think he can too. I mean, he's done it with so many different systems in college, and it's interesting. So, Dave, we're about to have George McCaskey on. He doesn't talk a lot. You know the McCaskey family well. I'm curious what you would be curious about.
Oh, just, you know, the Mitch is the topic. I guess the biggest thing is for them to feel good about Ryan Pace and say that him and Matt Nagy are on the same page, right? That, hey, George, you know, has what does Ryan say about Mitch? Does he really think that Mitch can't play? I mean, have they really come to a conclusion, coach and general manager, that they that Mitch can't play. You know, I missed on this kid. And Matt, he doesn't fit into what your offense does. You know, now what the answer is going to be going forward, I don't know. But that would be the biggest thing is, because that would be the one. If you're a general manager and you trade up and you get this player and you see him having success, which Mitch does, you know, moving on the pocket, running the ball. I mean, come on, guys. He don't, how many times did he run in that playoff game? Zero carries. The first play of the darn Buffalo game, Josh Allen comes out and runs. Josh Allen was their leading rusher. The guy ran the ball 19 times in the playoffs. So, you know, and so my only point I'm saying is Mitch didn't get an opportunity to do that. And if I'm the general manager, I'm mad as hell. I'm saying to my head coach, what are we doing? You know what the kid can do. We're not doing to give him a chance in the team to win. But apparently that's not the case. Apparently Ryan, you know, they've somehow, I don't know what the word is, compromised or come together or whatever the word might be to agree on it. So that would be the interesting conversation that I would have.
Doesn't it seem like, though, Dave, that this is heading to one of those classic situations where both parties might be better off without the other, that the Bears need to move on from Mitch, and that Mitch might need a new organization as well to see if he could thrive in a different system?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would. And there's a lot of teams that want to run the ball, trust me. There's a lot of teams that want to have look for a Ryan Tannehill type, and that's kind of what he falls into. Go to a team that wants to run the ball, and throw some play action pass and roll out, and you might be at the Rams next year.
Yeah, as a backup.
Well, how's Jared Goff's numbers compared to Mitch's? Pull those up. Get on that, Shane.
I can't. I'm kind of drunk right now, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching you. I'm counting how many sips you've had.
Okay? Dave doesn't pay up his bets. It's just shameful behavior. Frankly, it's shameful.
Shane's smoking a cigarette now, too. What the hell is going on back there?
Shane's not complaining. His debt's paid.
No, yeah, you paid your debts that were owed to me.
Make a comparison, Jared Goff, Mitch Trubisky. Make a comparison, Carson Wentz, Mitch Trubisky.
Okay, well, I mean.
I got nothing to say.
You got nothing? I mean, in their best years or this year?
Today. We're talking about today, this year.
Okay. Okay, well, Mitch has never shown the ceiling of either of those other two players.
What's that mean? One's
I mean,
on
he's
the
not
bench.
As good.
Two of them got benched. A third team walk-on kid.
All right, okay. Dave, go get your vaccine. Thank you. You just welcher on your bed. It's shameful behavior. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, see you guys. Be safe.
Bye, Dave.
All right. There's Dave Wannstedt, the chairman of the Chicago Bears, George McCaskey, joins me and Mark Grody next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Second and four, 2 seconds to go. Mitch to throw, up in the air. Deflected pass into the hands of Jimmy Graham for the touchdown. Touchdown Bears on the final snap.
Straight to the locker room.
Of the season, and yep, to the tunnel he goes. Now the Bears get the touchdown, 21-9. They will not have the extra point. That'll be the final snap of the game. And ladies and gentlemen, 2020, now a memory in this early days of January, the wild card playoff loss to the New Orleans Saints, 21-9. Now the Bears end their season still without a playoff win since the 2010 season. They'll regroup, figure things out.
Welcome back in to the Danny Parkin Show. Mark Grody is in. That was the final call of the season. Jeff Joniak, WBBM, and kind enough to join us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park, is the chairman of the Chicago Bears. Got a few minutes for us. We're thrilled to have him on the show. George McCaskey with us on the Score. George, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good, Danny. How are you doing? Hi, Mark.
Hey, George. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. We genuinely appreciate you coming on today, and we appreciate the tour of your office as well, which we can get to later. But do you – I want to start off with the events of yesterday and ask you directly, do you have any regrets either in what you said or decisions you made given the reaction to the press conference yesterday, which was – and I'll use our word – it was a tepid reaction?
Yeah, that's Danny, that's one of Mark's and my favorite words. Yeah, I would say maybe a little warmer than tepid. And we understand that. We understand that no matter what we said, we weren't going to please everybody. If we had taken a back up the truck approach, there would be some people, I'm sure, who would say, well, you didn't give them an adequate opportunity, or maybe you should have kept this guy instead of this guy. So we knew that it wasn't going to be a universally popular decision by any means. And we also know that we really don't have an opportunity to even come close to demonstrating that we made the right decision until maybe as late as September, hopefully by starting the season off with some wins.
George, I wanted to talk to you about like who was there speaking and Ted Phillips specifically, because we get a lot of confusion, and you even addressed it yesterday. Like, some people think he meddles in football operations, and that couldn't be further from the truth, were your words. But it also, he's meeting with Ryan Pace, he's meeting with Matt Nagy during the season and after. So what is his role in the decision on whether or not the coach and the GM keep their jobs?
The way we do it is the president and CEO and the chairman make those determinations in consultation with ownership and the board of directors.
Would you ever consider a president of football operations, or at least even a consultant who has a football background to help you with that, as opposed to the buck stopping with you and Ted, who are not quote unquote football people?
Well, as far as the consultant, I mean, we had that, which resulted in the hiring of Ryan. We had Ernie Accorsi. The guy's got Hall of Fame credentials, been successful with two teams, and did a great job, first of all, establishing credibility for us in the interview room, and secondly, guiding us through the process and helping with the selection. I've heard a lot about, you know, you need a quote-unquote football guy, a czar, a president of football operations, whatever. In our structure, the football guy is the general manager. And even if you had a president of football operations, that person at some point would have to be reporting to what you described, Danny, as a non-football person. So to me, it's not so much the structure as it is the people. We think we've got the right people. We understand not everybody agrees with that, but we think we do.
But I guess in terms of, like, if Ryan is telling you fill in the blank player is doing his job in this way, right? Like, I haven't been coached on how to study film, and you haven't, and Ted hasn't. So, like, how do you know if you don't have a football person in the room that they are the right people for the job?
Well, the football person in the room is the general manager. So, yeah, we're asking questions. We want to make sure that there's thorough analysis, that there's vigorous discussion before decisions are made. But we don't make those decisions ourselves.
Hey, Jordan, I wanted to ask you about the six-game losing streak this year. It was obviously hard on anybody. The toughest stretch of the season goes without saying. Why was that presented as a positive yesterday during the press conference?
Well, there's very little positive about a six-game losing streak. I think I was careful to say, you know, nobody wants that. The thing that impressed me was how our team reacted, that they stuck together, that they didn't point fingers, that they didn't cast blame, and that they played their butts off for this coach. That was a big factor in my assessment of the situation. But, yeah, we got to avoid six-game losing streaks. I mean, if you look at the history of the modern playoff system, those are killers. We were only the third team in the quote-unquote modern era to qualify for the playoffs that had had a six-game losing streak. And the only reason we did that is we qualified for the lowest possible seed. So we've got to do better. We've got to avoid those situations. The year prior was a four-game losing streak. So, yeah, we got to stack wins.
When you talk about wins and losses, that's obviously how Matt and Ryan will ultimately be judged. But I am wondering if Ted Phillips is in the room with that type of decision-making power or influence, however you want to put it, and you've made the playoffs six times in his 22 years as team president, how is he judged and evaluated?
Every employee is judged in that context at the end of the season. And the way I look at it is considering their entire body of work, should the employment relationship continue? Ted's performance is reviewed by the chairman and ownership and the board of directors. And Ted has done an outstanding job for us. And getting us through this pandemic is just another example of it. He's accessible. He communicates well. He has great organizational skills. He requires much of people, but they know that they can also come to him if they have a problem too. Our family has the utmost faith in him and very grateful for the job that he's done in his time with the Bears.
Hey, George, as it pertains to the contract lengths for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I respect that you guys are, at this point, you're not going to tell us what the lengths are, unless you decided today that you would like to. But I guess my question is, why is that not being revealed?
Well, thank you for the invitation to to change our minds. But I think all three of them made the point yesterday that it's not about the contracts, that if things work out, the contracts will take care of themselves. And that's the approach we're taking going forward.
So you said that there's confidence that they're going to be able to deliver better quarterback production, as we're joined by the chairman of the Bears, McCaskey, here on the Danny Parkin Show with Mark Grody. And the reason why I think it's relevant is lame duck general managers are very rare in the NFL, at least among the teams where their contract information is public, because you wouldn't want a GM to like hemorrhage cap space in the future to save his job in a win now season, or trade future draft picks in order to save his job in a win now season. So I think that's why it's relevant for fans. So I guess my question is, how active is Ryan Pace going to be allowed to be in order to go all in what seems like a must-win season in 2021?
Well, first of all, I would quibble with your terminology, since we're so much in the political realm these days. Lame duck in the political realm means somebody who is out the door on a date certain. And that's not what we're talking about here. But I thought Ryan addressed it very well. He's always making decisions that are in the best interests of the Chicago Bears. And that's one thing that attracted to us to him as a GM candidate from the very start.
So if he wanted to trade a future first round pick to move up in this draft, that's something that he's the football guy. He would have the discretion. He has the ability to do that this offseason.
He's the football guy. He makes the football decisions. Mm-hmm.
So I did want to talk to you more about, you guys talked a lot about accountability yesterday. And I think people think, oh, the only way to be accountable is to be fired. But obviously that's not true. You guys have meetings and evaluations and all of that. But about quarterback specifically, if Ryan Pace is going to be able to draft a quarterback, add a quarterback, it's going to be his decision. And the last time he drafted a quarterback was obviously Mitch Trubisky. And not only did it not work in terms of he didn't get the pick right, the process, George, that he arrived at that pick through reporting has been revealed to be like deeply flawed. He did not meet with Deshaun Watson in the same way that he met with Pat Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky. He didn't bring him in for a one-on-one interview. He didn't take him out to dinner in the same way that he did those other guys. So I guess I'm wondering, in terms of accountability and a mistake that was made, has that been acknowledged in conversations with Ryan that there were flaws in his evaluation process for the 2018 draft?
Well, we talked about all of the things that went into Ryan's performance or the over the course of his 6 years with us. You mentioned that it's been widely reported the process was flawed. To me, that's somebody's conclusion. Just because you don't take somebody to dinner doesn't mean, in my opinion, that you've made a complete evaluation of that person. And sometimes a lot of those things are done for strategic purposes. You know, you hear all manner of stories, especially the closer we get to the draft, of intrigue and, trial balloons and trying to send somebody down the wrong track. It's a lot goes into that. And in my opinion, the football guy has to be given wide latitude to carry out his plan the way he thinks best.
George, last question that so I have you, for you. Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to follow up quickly, Grody. Sorry. So you were satisfied with the due diligence that was done on Deshaun Watson in the 2017 draft?
Ryan kept me advised of his plan going into the draft all along the way.
George, is next year a must-win season for the Bears?
I think every year is a must-win season for the Bears. But it's not a situation where we're going to say, well, unless we make the playoffs, we're going to make a change, or unless we win X number of games, we're going to make a change. We don't know what's going to happen. We just, in the last season, had what the commissioner described as a season unlike any of the previous 100. So we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what the situation is going to be with injuries. Ted described it as improvement. I described it as progress. To me, the words are much the same. We've got to get better.
You were very proud of the culture that was on display within this organization. It was something that you and Ted and Ryan talked about many times, but I just found it interesting because after the last game of the season, Mitch Trubisky said, quote, there's a lot of things we need to do better, a lot of things we need to change, and a lot of that is culture, what we accept and what we don't. So is it safe to say you disagree with Mitch's characterization of the culture?
I didn't see that quote, and I haven't talked to Mitch since well before Sunday. I haven't even been in the – yesterday was my first day in the building in more than a month. So I'll say this about Mitch. He's an outstanding young man. His teammates love him. He works his butt off. He loves the game of football. He's got a passion for it. And I can speak more to off the field. Off the field, he was outstanding as a representative of the Chicago Bears.
Got a Super Bowl pick for us, George, before we let you go? I know you only have a few minutes here, so thank you.
I don't know about the Super Bowl, but all I can say in closing is go Rams.
I figured you might throw that one in. Well, George, listen, I will say this. I appreciate you giving us the time. I think fans love when they hear from owners and GMs, and I know Ryan like basically doesn't speak during the season, but accessibility and transparency is something that Bears fans really appreciate. So I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Appreciate it, Danny. Thank you, Mark.
George, thank you. I want to just repeat what Danny said. Thanks for coming on, giving us a little bit of time, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road here.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is the chairman of the Chicago Bears, George McCaskey, with Mark Grody in on the Danny Parkin Show. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. I mean, there's a lot there. He believes in people over organizational structure. He does not believe that there needs to be a football guy, either as a consultant full-time or part-time, in evaluating those decisions. He said they had one part-time in the hiring of Ryan Pace, but we were obviously talking about someone evaluating Ryan and Matt on a full-time basis, and said that he was satisfied based on being kept abreast of the entire process of how the 2017 draft was evaluated. Want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. You text us, you twitch us, you call us. Your reaction to the chairman of the Bears, George McCaskey, on the Score.
What is a football guy? Well, a football guy can turn a football film on and tell you what's wrong with his team, and tell you whether it's the scheme or the player. And then if it's the player, you have to go do research and say, okay, why is this player playing bad? Is he not relating to his coach? Is he not doing the workouts? Are the workouts not good for him? You know, has his box jump gone down, which means he's not as explosive. So there's all this information that you have to collect if you are the person interviewing these football guys now. And the football guys, if you don't understand football, they give you answers like, oh, my right tackle or my left tackle is playing well. My, you know, Eddie Jackson really is playing well. How do you know he's not lying to you, right? And it's human nature to save your job. So if George McCaskey and Ted Phillips are peppering Coach Nagy and Ryan Pace with questions, and they give them answers, how do they know whether they're right or not if there's not another football guy in the room?
That was Olin Krutz on why there should be a football guy in the room, and George McCaskey disagrees. Ryan Pace is the football guy. The problem is in the evaluation of him. And is Ted Phillips qualified to evaluate Ryan Pace? And when you've got six playoff appearances in 22 years, it seems to me, Mark Grody, that if Ted Phillips is going to be involved in the hiring and firing of the head coaches and the general managers who are evaluated on wins and losses, then Ted Phillips should also be evaluated on wins and losses. And I know that he's got other responsibilities in his job, but like it seems to me that having someone who actually has a better acumen for that would be better served in that role. And I want Ryan Pace. I want a Ryan Pace interview on the 2017 draft process. I know I'm never going to get it. But I just don't know how it's acceptable. And when he questioned about whether or not that's been widely reported, yeah, it has been. Like, Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell did it exhaustively for the Tribune. Deshaun Watson has commented on it. And Sports Illustrated did reporting on it. I mean, that's a direct source, right? Deshaun commented on it. His QB coach commented on it. Sports Illustrated wrote on it. The Trib wrote on it. All separate occasions. So, like, I don't know what to say, man. Like, they did not fully vet Deshaun Watson. They just didn't. And I know that's a pet issue of mine. I get it. But I find it highly relevant when Ryan Pace is about to get another swing at quarterback.
Do you think some of it has to do, too, with the fact that, and I realize I'm setting the bar low here, that there really haven't been, well, let me think here, any GMs in the Bears history that have gotten the quarterback position right, that they have gotten it correct? So while we all did, and I remember at the time, a lot of people said, well, Ryan Pace, and this is his legacy right now. That is Mitch Trubisky. If Trubisky fails and he fails and he's out, and that's not the way the Bears looked at it, obviously, clearly. They're not looking at it. They do not connect the two, or Ryan Pace would not be getting another swing at it. And I actually don't have a problem with the Bears considering Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as their football people, their football men within the organization. It's just that they need to be a little bit more consistent in their success for them to gain more credibility in that regard. Because it becomes even more confusing when there is like that football guy. And I wouldn't have a problem if they hired a football guy, but it does get confusing and a little convoluted. We'd be asking even more questions about who does what and what's really going on in the organization if there was the proverbial football person.
Yeah, and FFS Mikey on Twitch is like, I'll always be hung up on the 2017 draft. There will be a 30 for 30 on it someday. I agree. Like, I will never get over it. Never.
Well, yeah, well, and there's a lot of organizations that aren't going to get over it. That's why it would be 30-30 worthy, because while the Bears did not get Watson nor Mahomes, there's a bunch of teams that didn't get either and could have.
Sure, like Jets fans are upset about it, and absolutely, but not every team that was drafting in the top 10 needed a quarterback. Myles Garrett was a clear number one. The Bears traded up from 3 to 2. They got their first swing in a draft that's putting two QBs into the Hall of Fame, and they got a dude who they declined the fifth-year option on. It's just, it's an impossible thing to live down. And then when you find out after the fact that, like, there were three quarterback prospects in the draft, and they did it one way for two of them and a different way for the other, is insane. And listen, I respect what George is saying on, like, throwing people off the scent and all of that stuff. I respect that. You had the first choice of quarterbacks. Myles Garrett was going one. He was going one in that draft. You were trading up from 3 to 2. So you had the, and even if you couldn't pull off the trade to trade up from 3 to 2, and maybe you were going to have to take the second quarterback, all the more reason to evaluate all three of them in full. And so, this, like, who were they throwing off the scent? They got the first choice. Like, it wasn't necessary deception. Like, that's not why they didn't bring Deshaun Watson in for a private workout and out to dinner. I don't believe that.
Right, and they were fixated, obsessed with, wanted Mitchell Trubisky. And I can't be a hypocrite, and I wasn't covering the team at the time, so people should know that. I liked the pick at the time. I didn't watch Deshaun Watson as closely as you did, so I know that you were, you know, you're not second guessing. You wanted Deshaun Watson, but I was like, okay, this is interesting. I don't know much about Mitchell Trubisky, but it seems like, you know, an interesting ceiling guy who might need a little bit of development, and he's in, like, the things you hear about him, and everybody's scouting him highly. I was down with it, to be honest with you, at the time, and obviously I was wrong, and I think I'm not the only person who was wrong.
Clearly, and listen, I know I first guessed it, but when they drafted Mitch, what I said was, listen, I didn't watch every throw that Mitch Trubisky had at North Carolina. I didn't scout Mitch. I didn't scout Mahomes. And the NFL, a lot of people had Mitch number one. So, like, the Bears weren't alone in that.
Right.
But the outrage was not vetting the guy who played Bama twice, beat him once, and won the Davey O'Brien Award, not even vetting him in the same way. It's just that's a crazy thing to do. We got Mike. We got Bob. We got Adam. We got a lot of people who want to call in on George McCaskey. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. And then we got some examples of other organizations, how they handle end-of-season scrutiny. And suffice it to say, it's a little different. It's next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.